the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
It's Monday, February 25th, 2019.
We forgot to introduce our guest.
Who's our guest?
Which is the 15 decks of cards that I see lying around the...
That's what it's like
living, podcast zone.
Living with a magician.
Magicians.
So, Lakers just lost to Memphis. Again, no one cares about this year.
I mean, here's the thing. Is everybody cares about this year? That's the problem, is that we
I don't.
I mean, I know you don't, and I know we shouldn't. But there's just everybody has gotten involved, right? Everybody's like, oh, they're going to turn on after the All-Star break. LeBron's going to kick it into that gear that he has, you know, that one that he hasn't shown in a Lakers uniform. And it's going to go great. And they're just going to go, you know, I don't know, 20-5 in the last 25 games of the season.
Yeah. No, they're not going to. They don't have the capacity to do that.
Wait, I mean.
Here's the thing is, I think if you make the mistake of caring about this Lakers season,
okay,
then there you'll just get angry because there's lots of people to get annoyed with.
Yes.
Almost every single person. Honestly, the only person you can't get annoyed with right now is Lonzo because he's injured.
Yeah, he's not playing. If you get annoyed at somebody for getting injured, then you're the real dick.
Yeah. But otherwise, Luke Walton's not doing great.
No.
And Magic and Rob Pelinka
have kind of pooped the bed. Oh, you know who else you can't get annoyed with?
Who?
Reggie Bullock.
Oh, that's true. He's actually... Oh. Playing pretty well.
Playing great. Love me some Reggie Bullock.
Ivica Zubac,
you can't get mad at Ivica.
That's right.
Because he's gone.
But people are starting to get mad at LeBron.
Yes. Everyone is just furious at LeBron. And it just seems like everyone, not even just Lakers fans, just everyone around the NBA is just furious at LeBron for just saying, like, you know, what he's been saying. You gotta want it to win it, or all the other platitudes he's been spouting.
Yeah. I mean, this is, I guess, my not taking this Lakers season seriously is my way of avoiding being worried about that bringing LeBron to the Lakers is going to create exactly what I didn't want to have happen.
Dun, dun,
which I'm pretty sure I laid out when this was all happening, which was they sell themselves out a little bit to try to get to be like a seventh seed and to go out in the first or second round. Meanwhile, player development of the promising four and Zubats basically goes out the window.
Yeah.
And then LeBron will be done in like 3 years. So, like, you know.
I mean, he can't be done before LeBron Jr. gets there.
Right. He still has to play.
He's got to play with LeBron
Jr. Did he say he wants to play on the same team?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I guess if he has to dunk on his kid, then that's, I guess that is just what's going to happen.
I mean, if people were worried about expectations about Lonzo entering the league.
Oh, boy.
I mean, everybody is going to be dunking on Bronny.
Yeah, and, you know, it's like Michael Jordan's kids. You remember when they played college basketball?
Okay.
And it was like, duh, shucks.
I mean, it's basically impossible for anyone for Bronny to be at his level because it's random. First of all, there's random genetic luck that, you know, almost every pro player's children, except for Joe Jellybean Bryant.
Oh.
But most pro player's children are, like, a lot of times they're not even as tall as their parents were.
Yeah.
And that, I think that's just randomness.
Yeah, there's randomness. And there's also, like, you know, even if you have two tall people, they can have a short kid, or two short people can have a tall kid. It's just, there's a lot of randomness.
I also think there's a question of, you know, you have the potential to be very talented, but what is the potential that you're going to have the drive? You're a wealthy child.
Yeah.
It's just like, it would take a lot.
Yeah. I mean, you got to stay humble. You got to have Taco Tuesday with your family.
You got to go to a little small college like Davidson.
Yeah. That's the only way to do it.
Where did Seth Curry go?
Seth Curry went to Duke.
Oh. So he was more recruited than...
Yes, because Steph did so well in college.
Oh, I see. He's ahead of him.
Yeah.
I see.
Seth is a younger brother.
So anyway, I think it doesn't really matter. I've said the whole year, I don't think the Lakers season matters. I prefer them to miss the playoffs. I prefer LeBron to get as much rest as possible. And yeah. It seems like they're going to do what I'm asking.
Hey, and they're going to do it with no drama and nobody's going to get fired and everything's going to be
fine. Well, there'll always be. So, I mean, the ideal possibilities, I do think we should move off of Luke Walton.
Oh.
I mean.
But he went 39-4. Can you forget that?
With the Warriors?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was all his doing.
Yeah. He has those wins on his record.
I think that I actually don't have a strong dislike for Luke. I don't have a strong feeling either way. I don't have any idea really how good he is as a coach. I just think that he's not Magic and Pelinka's guy.
No.
He's not LeBron's guy.
No.
And the young guys are probably tired of listening to him. So, like, just move on. Find somebody else.
Yeah. What if this Lakers season didn't exist? What if there was like a magic way for it to never like enter our consciousness?
Well, I think that's possible.
Yeah.
You need to get 5 gems.
Okay.
And put them in a glove.
Okay.
Actually, you only need one, right?
I think you need 6. There are 6 gems.
Well, I mean, is I think you only need the time gem.
I mean, but you don't have the whole power. You know, you got to activate the whole glove.
Okay.
You know, and you know, you got your starting 5. You got your time, your power, your reality, your space, your time, power, reality,
and then you
space.
Got 6th gem of the year.
Yeah, of course. And that's my favorite award to vote for, is 6th gem of the year.
Yeah. The other way you could do it is you snap the glove and hopefully just hope against hope that you're one of the 50%.
Yeah.
And that doesn't have to remember the Lakers season.
Yes. I wonder if it would just take out... I don't know. I truly, it seems like this season has gotten overhyped because everyone around the league expects LeBron to be in the playoffs.
Yeah. They're just, you know, my opinion is that you've been over people, not you, but like people have been overestimating both how good LeBron is and how bad, underestimating how bad the Eastern Conference has been
in
the last 10 years.
And like, I'm one of those people. Yeah, you don't have to save my heart or my spirit.
Yeah.
I was thinking that the Lakers were going to make the playoffs, no problem.
I thought they might, but I mean...
I remember fully predicting that they were a lock, and they have not proven themselves to
be. Yeah, I think early on in the season, people were sort of talking about them like, well, they'll be the 3 seed or something like that. One of the things is that there was never a really... I don't think anyone's brains could think of a cohesive way that the pieces they got fit together.
But they got Tyson Chandler, who's bad.
They got... It's weird for a team to have both Tyson Chandler and JaVale McGee. Like I said, I want them to also get DeAndre Jordan. Just get all the lugs on one team. I think... Here's the
calling
thing.
Calling Travis Knight.
Yeah. And wait, who was the one white guy, kind of a goofball? He was from Duke. He played for Lakers.
Oh.
He shot 3-pointers a couple times. This is only like 4 years ago.
I mean, you're not talking about Chris Mim because he was from Texas?
No.
Oh, yeah, that fucking guy.
Kind of goofy looking.
Yeah, that guy. Who was that guy?
I don't know. Ryan Kelly?
Yes, Ryan Kelly. That was who it is.
So I think one thing
that's Ryan Kelly.
underestimated about basketball franchises is, you know, obviously they do a lot of marketing and they do a lot of... but I think one thing that might behoove them is to maybe at the beginning of seasons put a little more effort into telling a message to their fans about what the expectations are for the season. Oh. And trying to get people to buy into that. Because I think it's all just being undone by expectation.
No. I mean, don't you think that they did say that? I mean, I feel like they definitely said that our expectations are to be in the playoffs.
Oh, I'm saying they shouldn't have sold it that way.
Yeah. Okay. It's not just that they didn't have any messaging. It was that they should have
sold the wrong one.
They should have had the opposite messaging. And the messaging should have been, hey, you know, if we happen to sit out the playoffs this year, we're doing that by choice.
Yeah. I mean, let's say, well, I guess Zion's probably not going to fall too far.
Zion will not fall anywhere unless it's on the court at Cameron Indoor Stadium.
He won't fall even 2 or 3 just by like not showing up again on the court.
Oh no, Lord no! Zion's the number one pick, hands down, and he has been since before the season. And that's the thing that people were like, "Oh, RJ Barrett's going to be there. Ja Morant has played himself into a top 3 pick." It's been Zion. It's all Zion.
This is he's only playing 1 season, right?
Yeah.
I actually just heard recently Jonathan Givony?
Yes, from Draft Express, but now for ESPN.
Was saying that actually Zion was not the number one and had played himself into it at Duke.
Yes, that's how it was. People were saying that he was going... But, like, here's the thing. If, like draft people had said RJ Barrett was the better prospect, yeah, right? The overall prospect.
Yeah.
But I feel like people around the league were just like, it's...
Zion.
I mean, you look at the highlights, and he's been putting up highlights
for
a long time. He's the one whose name is in people's mouths. And he has played himself into an absolute lock for the first seed, for the first draft.
That's true. Nothing about it. There have been many, like, Kyrie played, like, 17 games.
Yeah.
Like, people just sort of show enough, and then they just kind of shut it down for this.
Yeah, and he may or may not shut it down. You know, we don't know what he's going to do yet.
Anyway, my prediction is the Lakers miss the playoffs and get the number one draft pick and get Zion.
Great. That'll be great for the team.
Or they'll get RJ at number two.
Like, it's not like Zion and LeBron play the same position as Kyle Kuzma, our real star.
Okay, you were saying something very briefly before the podcast started that I disagree with about the Milwaukee Bucks.
All right.
How are you feeling about the Milwaukee Bucks?
I think the Milwaukee Bucks are the favorite to win the NBA Finals this year.
That's bold words.
Yeah.
I disagree.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, right. That's been our Milwaukee Bucks Have you? Is there something that caused you to switch over on this opinion?
Yes. I feel like their formula is near unbeatable in a long-term series. And their formula is just run up and down the court and shoot threes and get Giannis dunks, in a way that, and play amazing defense, right? They're the best defensive team in the league, and they're like the fourth best offensive team in the league.
Mm-hmm.
They're out of control. They run teams off the court. You know, they're winning by about 10 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing so well that it's hard to see, you know, them not being a favorite, especially with the, you know, the Warriors could have trouble getting out of the second or third round in the West, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to have a tougher time to get to the NBA Finals than the Bucks would. And I think the Bucks would be favored over any other team besides the Warriors in the Finals.
Uh-huh.
So I think that from that end...
I see. You're sort of folding in playing the field a little bit into this...
You betcha, because I think that the top five teams in the West are stronger than the top five teams in the East.
Right.
And I think that the Bucks, for my money, are the team to beat in the East.
Yeah.
You know, and my money is just the same as everybody else's money because, you know, they have the best record and they've been playing really well. And I think that the Warriors have a less likely probability to make it into the finals than the Bucks by about half, is my guess.
Yeah, that's probably true. I if you put it that way, that does make some sense. If I were the Warriors, I would want to avoid Oklahoma City until as late as possible.
Yeah.
I think what would be ideal for them is if OKC and Houston had to hit each other. If they didn't have to play both of those teams. I don't think the Warriors are particularly scared of Portland.
And I don't think they're scared of Denver either.
No, and I don't think they're scared of Utah and San Antonio.
I think they could be a little like, I think they'd rather play Denver than Utah.
Uh-huh.
But
you know, yeah, Denver probably won't be in their bracket, side of the bracket.
Yeah, they're definitely not scared of Portland. Portland has not been able to.
Yeah, and then below Houston is like the Kings and the Clippers and San Antonio. San Antonio not playing very well right now.
No, they had a terrible rodeo trip.
Yeah.
Won one game. They lost to the Knicks.
There's a chance.
They were the joke of the Oscars.
I know. They may fall out completely.
Ooh, if they keep going that way.
Well, the Kings are playing okay. Well, I don't think the Lakers will catch.
Do you think they're going to fall all the way down to below the Kings, the Clippers, the Timberwolves, and then the Lakers? Because don't forget, the Lakers are now 11th in the West.
Sweet. The last time I looked, San Antonio was like 7th.
They, I believe, are tied for 8th, if I recall.
Ooh, good Lord.
It's looking bad.
Yeah, they are tied for 8th, so like it won't take much for them to just fall beneath Sacramento.
No.
So This is what I'll say about Milwaukee, though, because I watched a couple games this week.
Yes.
I watched Milwaukee, Boston.
Yeah.
Milwaukee did win that game.
Yes. It was tight.
However, first of all, I'm concerned with both of those teams' half-court offense.
Here's the thing. I think Boston games are always weird. Boston plays weird. Teams, they don't ever play in a way that, not ever, feels like recently they haven't been playing in a way where they'll blow somebody out or lose by a lot. They're just going to keep it tight and weird.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think you can judge a team based on how they play against Boston.
Well, this is what I would say. I worry about Milwaukee's plan B. Every team in the playoffs is going to have a plan B or C on how they run their offense.
Okay.
Because they will get game planned. And they will often get taken out of what their first choice is.
Here's the thing. I don't think I'm worried about their plan B, right? And I think the reason is, I think as much as you hate him, uh-huh. Eric Bledsoe's been having a really good year.
Okay. I mean, I'm only basing this on one game. They didn't seem to have a plan B. Their plan A was Giannis at the top of the key and with four shooters around him.
Yeah.
And it was very stale to me. Yeah,
that's fair.
And I would worry about that in a playoff series.
I think what I mean is that I trust them to be able to put in wrinkles in a series because I think I trust Budenholzer to be a bit elevated from how he was as a coach in Atlanta because uh-huh. he's got better pieces here. And I look at the people who are, you know, below Giannis on that team. And I think they're all really good players. I think they've put together a really fantastic team. I mean, Middleton and Bledsoe and Lopez and Hill and Mirotić.
Yeah.
Like, that's a solid starting five for a team somewhere.
Right? I think they are... I worry about their game plan in terms of getting the most out of those guys. Because what I saw in that game was... There was a series in the fourth quarter where, like, Mirotić and Middleton didn't touch the ball, like, and, six possessions in a row.
And here's the thing.
And then they did, and they clanked.
Was that game the first game after the All-Star break? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, like, everybody had a week and a half off, basically, except for Middleton and Giannis and Kyrie.
Oh, I mean, maybe. Sure.
Yeah.
I'll watch more games than them, but like their offense, their half court offense did not like everybody gets punched in the mouth in the playoffs. And like Golden State has three or four plans on how to score.
Yeah. I feel like, right. So the big worry in the playoffs is that it's going to become a grind.
Yeah.
I feel like the way that they play, there's no way for it to truly become a grind because of how fast they push the ball up the court.
Yeah.
And in those grindy games, you know, grindy games are always going to be like a 50-50 proposition, right? That Celtics game that was grindy, right? It came down to the last couple of possessions each time. Like, those are like, we've played this about even, right? This game could go either way.
Yeah.
And
I mean, that's true, but the Bucks don't run much in terms of actions when it gets grindy. Right.
But
they don't have much to go to except Giannis trying to beat his guy.
But I think they'll be able to keep the transition game open. Like, I think that's the core of their team.
I hope so, but that's really generally not true in the playoffs.
It's generally not true, but like, why is that? Because people get antsy, because people have better defensive plans against
they allow transition? More physical contact, for sure. They don't call as many fouls.
Okay, but...
They let you... I mean...
That's the stuff that you worry about when you're in your half-court offense. That's the stuff that slows down half-court offenses. But does it slow down transition offenses? I don't think so. Right. And a transition offense is grab a rebound and go. Right.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing where unless they're like fouling them every time.
You know, no, but there rebound, must be some reason why traditionally transition offense goes down in the playoffs.
I mean, it's got to be because people are tired, for one. It's a long season. Mm-hmm. And
I guess what there are, I don't know what they are, but there are reasons it goes down. And I don't know why the Bucks would be immune to those reasons.
It feels to me like the reason they'd be immune is because they've got a couple of really good ball handlers and a player who you cannot guard in the open court effectively.
Yeah.
Right? No matter... Teams try to plan for him because that's the only thing you have to plan for when you play against the Milwaukee Bucks is like somebody has to make sure that Giannis is covered and he still gets open in transition.
Yeah.
So it seems to me like I cannot wait to see it. I'm not going to miss a Milwaukee Bucks playoff game this year because I'm really excited to see what happens.
I think that playoff defenses are going to resemble more like the Boston game than most regular season games. I don't think that in the regular season there's too much. Like, if they want to, a team can aggressively just try to take the ball out of his hands as soon as he crosses half court. And he will probably go along with that because he wants to play the right way. And then it's going to be a very different offense than what they normally run.
4-on-3.
Right.
And but they'll have the ability to find that open shooter. I mean, all of the guards in that team can pass.
Yeah.
Right. There is, it feels to me like, and, you know, and you'll see Brook Lopez drive to the hoop and dunk. Like this team has so many strengths on the fast break. It's wild.
Yeah.
So you are correct. They can bog down in their half court offense, but I think they're going to really try to push their strengths, which are pushing the ball up the court after a miss, after a make, after anything.
Like, yeah.
It's going to be transition offense for them. And I think that's their blueprint for winning.
I will be interested to see how that stands up to someone that can game plan for that.
Yeah.
And then I was disheartened by what I saw when that speed was taken away because they didn't have very many answers in terms of what to do.
But they still won.
They still won because Boston's offense is also horrific.
Yeah.
Boston's offense is Kyrie dribbling around a million times. And so I think it's a good, they should get out of the East, hopefully, because I like the Bucks and I like Giannis a lot. I still wouldn't put them over like the Thunder. I would probably favor the Thunder, the Portland, and Houston over them. I have no idea what Denver's going to look like in the playoffs.
I could not disagree with you more about who the stronger team is when it comes to those
Thunder.
Yeah, the Thunder. I definitely feel like they'll be able to beat the Thunder.
Interesting. I also think it's very hard in the NBA to do great. It's the conferences fuck up the ability to forecast how teams are going to play. And it also probably makes it what makes it interesting.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is that every team in the East has an easier schedule than every team in the West.
Yeah.
So it's hard to use stats or eye tests to like talk about teams sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. I think the thing that I watched and I was, because here's how I kind of feel about Bucks games. I feel like Bucks games that I watch, they're close for 2.5-3 quarters, and then they turn that jet on, and they still have that gear, and they're able to blow a team out by 10 towards the end of the game. And like, you'll look at their box scores, and you'll see like the team is even in points for between their top five scorers. It's just, it seems to me like they're democratizing the way that they play in such a way that is, I mean, it looks good. I feel like it's got like roots in a successful way to play in the playoffs. I'm just like, I don't know. It seems to me like the signs are there for them to
well, it's
like,
a bold prediction.
Yeah,
they're pretty unproven in the playoffs.
They're unproven in the playoffs. They haven't gotten out of the first round in a minute.
Yeah.
But they're a different team this year. They've got, you know, one reason they're a different team is because Eric Bledsoe is not awful anymore. He is playing well.
Still seems like an awful person, but but yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's just based on his cantankerousness.
Cantankerous people always hate other cantankerous people.
Yeah, but I'm a joy. Well, bookmark it. Let's see.
Okay.
I mean, Casey hasn't had the best.
My predictions have always been good. And this is where if we had an editor, we'd play all my terrible predictions, like the Memphis Grizzlies getting the seventh seed. And
the Raptors.
The Raptors just crushing it in the playoffs. What other fun predictions have I had? LeBron's going to Detroit. I just want to like make up Casey's bad predictions.
I'm just want to check. Is Detroit going to make the playoffs?
Yeah, they are. Detroit, they're basketball. In
seventh spot. How are you feeling about? First, I want to say this. I want to reiterate that it would be very interesting to see Denver because that is truly an unproven team in the playoffs. They are a team that seems to have a lot of, they're just like an interesting team that you just have no idea how it's going to translate in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I do like watching Jokic though.
He's so fun to watch.
Side note, I like watching Nurkic trash talk Ben Simmons as well.
That was pretty fun.
Yeah.
It's fun to trash talk a guy and have him have not really much of a comeback.
Yeah.
How can you come back from you can't shoot the basketball when you can't shoot the basketball?
Yeah.
Right? There's no comeback to that. It's like, oh, yes, I can. It's like, okay, well, then do it. I think my mom's calling me.
Yeah, Ben Simmons and Nurkic had a little tete-a-tete. And also, Nurkic had a good game.
Yeah.
And I think the Blazers won.
They certainly did.
So just everything was against Ben Simmons in this situation.
And Ben Simmons had himself a good game.
Yeah,
good game. But he still came out with that L.
Yeah.
It was very funny.
So anyway, we were talking about, what is your feeling about Denver in the playoffs? Any just tea leaves you want to read there?
Here's my feeling. That team is deep.
Yeah.
So I think that they are going to lose a little bit of their strength when it comes to the playoffs because deeper teams are not traditionally, where it's at in the playoffs. It's usually you play your best players more minutes. So for them to be so deep, to have so many options, I don't know if that's a strength when it comes to playoff time, which is a weird thing to say out loud. But I think it makes sense, right?
No, I think that people often talk about how deep teams are, and it's like great during the regular season.
But it's a grind,
it also,
baby.
It also depends on your coach. But like certain coaches only go like 8 deep at the most, especially when things get like really intense.
And they've been relying on undrafted players like Malik Beasley, I believe is his name.
I think that
he's been great.
I think that Toronto might have gone pretty deep last year.
Yeah.
And
they
playoffs.
Did great. And they won the NBA Finals last year.
Yeah, that's true.
If you check my predictions.
But I feel like teams like Toronto and like the Pacers maybe are teams that they'll trot out and you'll be like, who's this guy? And it's like the 9th and 10th guy.
Yeah.
A team like the Warriors, you'll see 10 through 12, but it's often only because they're like 40 points ahead.
Yeah, which to be fair to the NBA this season, have not been too many Warriors 40-point blowouts this season.
No. Recently before you got here, I was watching the Clippers Mavericks game.
Ooh.
Landry Shamet
for the Clips.
Very well.
He's a great shooter.
They seem to have drafted pretty well.
They did not draft him.
Oh, what about Shea though? They drafted
Shea. They drafted Shea.
He was doing decently.
Shea has been playing well all season. He's been a very, very solid young rookie point guard. Shamet's a rookie as well, but he was drafted by Philly and they traded Harris for him.
Oh, okay.
So he's part of the youth movement for sure, but he's not a Clippers draft pick.
Landry Shamet is listed at 6'5". He did not look 6'5". But he actually reminded me of what I think Trae Young is.
Oh, I can
very,
see that.
He's very quick and I don't know. When you see young guys shoot three-pointers, they're just very bouncy.
Yeah.
You know, and then on the other side of the court, Nowitzki's shooting three-pointers, and it's like hoisting a stone.
It's so funny.
Uphill. But and also got to see, I didn't see the end of that game, but I got to see some Doncic magic as well.
How great would it be if Dirk came back to play next year and they had to put him in the All-Star game again? And they just did it every year until...
Yeah, they must have some unspoken thing of like, this is the last
this
year,
is it, right? Yeah, because he hasn't officially said that this is going to be his last year.
And who do we have next year potentially retiring?
That would be like, we got to put this guy in the All-Star game.
Yeah. Maybe nobody?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
We said not to take the Lakers too seriously.
Carter, maybe if Vince Carter.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Just rewatching some of his dunks.
Oh,
the best.
So good.
Just want to give a shout out to Chris Paul, dirtiest player in the league, yet again trying to rip LeBron's arm out of his shoulder.
Hey, it's not going to work. LeBron's got the biggest shoulders of anybody.
Yeah,
so it's
still
not
a scumbag maneuver.
Also, like, isn't he your best friend? Aren't you supposed to, like, treat your best friends nicely?
I'm sure that he's from the Magic Isaiah school of just, like, when you're on the court, we're not friends.
We're not friends.
But I could not hate Chris Paul more. Okay. Very happy that James Harden's streak is over.
Oh, yeah, it ended tonight.
Ended tonight.
By 2 points.
Yeah.
He was really hanging on for dear life on a couple of these games,
yeah.
Right?
I mean, it was very, it was also like, I don't know. The Lakers-Rockets game was truly a highlight for the season for me. It would have only been better if his streak had ended that night.
But, and it would have been better if Rondo had again punched Chris Paul in the face.
Yeah. But getting four offensive fouls called on James Harden is pretty great.
Oh. And yeah, they played him pretty well. And he still got 30 points. I think the fun thing was that tonight when the streak ended, he was 0 for 10 from 3.
Yeah, I mean, God. I will say that I'm hoping that Harden MVP talk has peaked and is waning now. Because I think that if Giannis takes the Bucks to the best record in the league and the best differential in the league, and I know that the rest of his team is good, but it's not like you can't say that Giannis is like being bolstered up. Like one thing that I think hurts Paul George's case is that Westbrook is on the team. Like it
definitely hurts his case because he doesn't have as many shots to take because Russell Westbrook still takes shots.
Yeah. But also Russell Westbrook was like on a streak of like triple doubles.
Yeah.
And Curry and Durant are always going to hurt each other's MVP chances.
Yes.
So I don't think there's a player like that.
And
I love
Kemba
Chris
Walker
Middleton.
Died.
Did he die?
No. His MVP candidacy died.
Yeah. I mean, his went away. Anthony Davis's went away.
Oh, what else about Anthony Davis went away?
So I...
Half of his ability to play basketball like that.
Yeah. I think that, you know, the MVP for many years has been best player on the best team.
Yeah.
And whenever it has not been that, it has been some kind of narrative.
Yeah. Some ridiculous
such
statistical
as like,
thing.
Like Westbrook averaging a triple double.
Yeah. Or like James Harden being very good.
Eh. I don't think, I actually don't think when this year shakes out that I'll be interested to see where this season ends up stacking against last season.
Interesting. Because he'll definitely have more PPG.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he'll have...
You can already see his game just adjusting because Capella and Chris Paul are back.
Yes. And, you know, starter Kenneth Faried is hanging in there.
That's right. And I would say that if Houston ends up as the 6th, 7th, or 8th seed, I don't think that's high enough to justify, like, this alternate narrative of how... I don't know. He carried a team with Chris Paul and Clint Capella. You know, they were out, but like he carried them to the 6th seed. It's not a great narrative to me.
No.
Also, they're scumbags and I hate them all.
Yeah. And the best thing about this is you're wearing a shirt that says Houston on it.
Yeah, I'm from Houston. I love Houston. I love Hakeem Olajuwon. Yes. I love Clyde Drexler.
Yes.
I love Robert Reed.
You love
Sam
Kenny
Cassell.
The Jet Smith.
Love Kenny Smith. Mitch Wiggins.
Oh.
Vernon Maxwell.
Okay.
Love all these guys.
Yao Ming.
I love
Tracy
McGrady. Yep. Loved him. World Be Free. Chris Paul. Can't stand him.
Rafer Alston.
I do like Rafer Alston.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, I love Steve Francis. Oh. I wish Rafer Alston had made it into the league earlier.
Yeah.
Because he
spent a lot of time over.
He was on street ball for a long time. I think he was even before like And One.
Ooh.
And so he, like Arvydas Sabonis, sort of got to the league like sort of past their prime.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've also been, I've wrote nothing watching YouTube basketball players. And I just think it'll be, they're sort of the equivalent, modern day equivalent of the And One guys.
Okay.
Because they're kind of like, people on their streams are always just like, they could easily go to the NBA.
Dude, these guys could definitely be in the NBA.
The professor could definitely be in the NBA. Oh,
dude, that guy Jordan who dunked in secret on Gary Payton in a competition one time could definitely go to the NBA.
Yeah. And it's like, well, the professor was at a junior college and averaged 6 points a game. Mac McClung is at Georgetown and is currently averaging like 12.
He's having much better season than we gave him credit for. He's doing a Georgetown solid.
He's having about what it
is. He's going to play 4 years of college ball and be a very, very good European player.
Oh, there you go. I think he would be fortunate to have Jimmer Fredette's Chinese career right now. Jimmer Fredette's like
scoring 95 points a game.
He's averaging like 41 points.
Listen,
or something.
LeVar Ball played community college ball. Okay. All right. Yeah. He's the best player in the world. Yeah. Okay. If you listen to him, he could beat LeBron's dad one on one.
He could definitely be Jordan's dad. Let's see. I wanted to look up the what I don't know how what it's called, the players that are now available, like Jimmer Fredette.
Like who's coming back from China? Who can get and be that player? Because here's the thing, the Lakers have an open roster spot. So I don't know if anybody knows this or not, but only one person's getting those DNP not on the active list right now. There's only one inactive player for the Lakers every night because they traded Michael Beasley to the garbage bin.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you what. Who is the Chinese basketball player that's scoring 75 points a game that will come back and help the Lakers by sitting on their bench until they don't make the playoffs? Who's it going to be? Is it going to be Andre Blatch? Andre Blatch, I believe, I don't know if he's playing right now, but he was been playing in the Filipino leagues because he is a has a Filipino citizen card for FIBA, but...
I was going to say...
Maurice Spates?
Yeah, sure.
Could get Maurice Spates. Exactly what we're looking for.
I was going to say...
The dream of Mike Muscala is Maurice Spates.
Who's the guy who is the boxer? Oh, Manny Pacquiao from the Philippines Basketball League.
Got it, yes. Because Senator Manny Pacquiao has to have people know that he can play basketball.
Yeah, actually featured in a professor video.
Oh,
from way back when the professor threw the ball at his head.
Ooh,
which is a pretty standard streetball move.
Yes, it is.
And
did Manny Pacquiao not have the head speed to dodge that?
Yeah, actually, that's weird that he didn't. Like, right?
I mean, what are you there for if not to have a bunch of head speed?
Yeah, that's
head
true.
Speed, hand speed.
Manny
Pacquiao, you're getting soft.
People were very offended about. You know, that he would dare dishonor Manny Pacquiao that way.
What? Manny Pacquiao dishonors Manny Pacquiao by being anti-gay and anti-women and just being a generally shitty dude.
Yeah. So, you know what? Take all the basketballs to the head.
Yeah. Who have I told to go fuck themselves on this podcast today? Ryan Kelly? All right, Manny Pacquiao, go fuck yourself.
Okay, I cannot find the list of players that are available. Oh, well. It's on Reddit, and the reason I remember, though, is in the list they were like that Jimmer Fredette most likely would have to take a pay cut to come back to the league because he's getting paid very well.
Yeah, he's getting paid well, scoring those points, but their season ends before the NBA season, so there's probably he could probably come back and just
get make some double money.
Yeah, you make your money one time, and then you go for a playoff run.
Yeah.
I don't understand what the problem is.
So I don't know. I hope this I hope for your sake that the Lakers pick it up this week.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I'm sad. I'm just a sad guy.
Yeah.
But this season I got my hopes up. You know, I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have done it. I should have been smart. I should have been like my friend Chris Grace and had a cold heart about whether or not the Lakers were going to be a team that we could love this year.
I just feel like I love watching the Lakers, but only when they win. Like, that's when I love watching them. And I feel like there's just no world where they were going to challenge for the championship this year.
Yeah.
So I just never had many expectations for it. And also, I think anybody following the league for the last 10 years kind of has a hint as to how LeBron handles, you know, not doing that great. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's not a surprise that he doesn't have the best, like, I'm not convinced what a great leader he is.
Yeah.
On teams that aren't doing well.
Yeah.
He kind of throws people under the bus, like, whenever he feels like it.
Yeah.
Actually have not felt a lot of him demanding that the team play a certain way this year. And I feel that he might also be a little bit checked out. He also might be checked out and just be doing a little bit of this for show.
Oh.
Just to be kind of like... He doesn't want to come out and say, like, I'm going to take the summer off.
Yeah. I mean, they've got to film Space Jam 2 sometime, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not going to be on his after-season Mediterranean vacation.
I would love it if, you know, they'll often release, like, you know, here's footage of us, you know, in the last 3 weeks of the playoff push.
Yeah.
You know, the same way they released Chris Paul's decision on what to do with his career. I wish that they would release one from LeBron, like for this last month or two, of him just being like, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? Let's go to Jack in the Box.
We're focusing on this. I'm saying all this stuff to the media, but me and Lonzo are actually hanging out playing Fortnite.
Yeah.
Like, we're doing it.
What's the word on Lonzo? I heard he's got a bruise that's extending his...
A bone bruise on the ankle that's extending his out time.
Yeah.
So, clearly, he doesn't care to get back quick. No. I mean,
maybe Majinka's going to them saying, like, you know what? No rush. Let's tank.
This is the first time I've heard Majinka.
You know, in your life?
Yes.
Oh, it's a Reddit common term.
See, that's why.
I gotta stay off
fucking Reddit.
Oh, I will say this about the Golden State Warriors, because I watched the Golden State Warriors Rockets game the very next day, hoping to see another trouncing. Another
travesty of a game.
But it turned out to be just a trap game for the Warriors.
Oh, a trap game.
Because Harden was out.
Yes.
And they just, like, again, I love watching the Warriors. They're not my number one team. I'm so glad that they are not my, like, heart and soul team. Because they fuck around so much. Like, they were, who what's his name? Like, Jarebenko or whatever his name is?
Oh, Jonas Jerebko.
Jerebko.
Jerebenko, though. That's a good one.
Jerebko looked
were they playing
to be on this court.
Point Jerebko?
No, he just was getting the ball a lot. You know, and, he is a good three-point shooter, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't that night. Oh. And at one point, threw the ball into the back of Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
In a move that, like you or I might do in a pickup game if we didn't know. If let's say that we were going to play a game.
Yeah.
And neither team agreed to be skins.
Yeah.
And so we kind of didn't. I hate pickup games where you're trying to remember who's on which team.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like when Jerebko threw it into the back of Klay Thompson. And I was just like, this was like in the late third quarter when they were trying to stay close to the Rockets and come back and win.
Yeah.
And it was just like, they're just so casual with the basketball sometimes. So then I got annoyed and decided to stop watching that game.
Yeah.
And at some point it's like 115-96. With like 4 minutes left or something like that.
Yeah.
The next time I check the score, it's the Rockets have scored 1 point.
Okay.
It's 116 to like 110 or something like that. And basically I was thinking about how, I think Phil Jackson talked about this with the Chicago Bulls, but basically like it gets harder and harder to get them motivated to like play.
Yeah.
So they're just like, let's see if we can wait till the like 3 minutes left in the game and see if we can catch them. And they didn't catch him. They lost.
It's like, you know, I'm trying to do my homework. It's just like, I could watch another episode of 30 Rock. And then she's like, it's 10 o'clock and I got to be in bed by 11. I was like, I'll do it in the morning. I'll wake up early.
Yes, the morning thing.
And then I wake up and it's like, I'm tired. I'm going to go back to bed. I'm just not going to do my fucking homework. I don't
care. Did you ever ride the bus to school?
No.
You do it on the bus.
Ooh. Yeah, no, I always had to walk to school, so.
So,
I had it hard.
Yeah. So, again, I'm not that worried about the Warriors in the playoffs, but they have the best record in the West, so, like, obviously they're doing well, but it would just frustrate me so much. They just, like, they really fuck around a lot.
Especially because you had that season where they went 73-9 and they didn't fuck around ever.
Yeah.
And they just walloped the league,
yeah,
and then they lost in the finals, right?
Like, yeah,
if
I think that would erode their ability to concentrate, right? Because it's just like, why
who cares?
We did it once and it failed.
Yeah,
the Patriots won 16-0 and then lost.
Fucking Patriots.
It might be that to do that level of a regular season requires mental sacrifices that don't pay off in the playoffs.
Ooh. Yeah, I wonder if we could like get a study going of teams that were the best in the league, like that Mariners team that won 118 games and flamed out in the first round, or like the Mavericks team that lost to the Warriors, the 1-8 matchup.
Oh yes,
right. Like that'd be a fascinating like book about like sports teams that did not win at all.
Yeah,
like, the teams that that were like all-time greats that lost.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Huh.
Makes you think.
Anyway, I would just be frustrated if I was a Warriors fan.
That's fair.
Anything else you want to talk about?
Yes. What did you think about the hostless Oscars?
I was checking in occasionally.
Ooh, you didn't watch the whole thing?
I did not watch the whole
thing. I sat down and I watched the whole damn thing.
Yeah, I love Olivia Colman. I loved her speech.
I liked her speech, too.
I thought that the hostlessness of it was fine. Like, I don't know.
I mean, even when they have the host, they have other people present all the awards anyways.
I think that it, like, if they want, just keep doing that.
Yeah, I was into that.
Yeah. I actually missed, how do they open the show?
They had Queen with Adam Lambert come out and play a couple of songs of Queen's.
There you go.
And as everyone knows, Adam Lambert is the current frontman of Queen.
Is he really?
Yes, he is.
Oh. Yeah. I thought that I have not seen it, but I was disappointed anyway that Green Book won.
I have been asked on multiple occasions to go see Green Book, and I have refused.
Yeah.
Because I am just not interested in seeing it.
I will probably watch it now, but for people to say that it's worse than Crash,
that is a lot.
That is saying a lot.
It's saying a lot.
Because Crash is terrible.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, if you want to get your hate watch on, give that a go. Did you see Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yeah.
I didn't like Bohemian Rhapsody.
I thought it was fine, but I thought he was great. So I don't think it should have won Best Picture.
No,
definitely. I would have gone with The Favorite or Roma.
My picks for Best Picture out of the ones that were nominated were either The Favorite or... I think I would have picked The Favorite. There was another one that was The Favorite or Black Panther, and that's like, there's no way that it was going to win Best Picture.
Yeah. I didn't realize one thing working against the field, against Roma and for Green Book, was that Roma was sort of the, critics' choice, I really love movies, that person, what they would pick. However, that's combined with the fact that it's a Netflix movie, and there's a significant amount of hostility towards Netflix in general.
Yeah.
So if Roma had been like a Sony film that only came out in theaters, it had a much better shot of like hitting that when the artist won or whatever, where it's just like, oh, we're kind of picking like the good artsy movie.
We love the movies.
But people hate Netflix here.
Yeah.
Because of how it's disrupting the industry, how Netflix is spending so much money and no one really knows what's going on. I'm trying to make an analogy like this to basketball, but I can't.
Ooh, it's like how Mark Cuban installed a bunch of DVD players in his players' locker room back in 2001.
Uh-huh.
It's wild. All right, it's the upgrades you don't talk about. Okay, it's like how the Bucks just built a new stadium. Oh, and coincidentally, they're the best team in the league this year. What a coincidence.
What is their stadium called?
The BMO Harris Center.
Yeah, oh boy. Yeah, we'll never go back to those old days of having fun stadium names.
No.
That's a thing that the kids of the day will never know.
They were the Mecca, were called.
That they were the Mecca?
I believe that was what their court was called.
The Palace at Auburn Hills.
Oh, the Palace at Auburn Hills.
Yep.
And now it's just the Palace at Papa John's Pizza.
The Great Western Forum.
Oh, so beautiful. And now it's just the less Great Western Forum.
Is it the TD Bank Garden? Is that what that is called now?
Yes.
I don't like that.
TD Bank Garden.
I think a lot of this started going awry back when, was it called Candlestick Field?
Candlestick Park,
and then that became like 3Com Park or something.
Oh God!
And they all just started going like the worst possible companies were buying these places. Yeah. You know,
I mean, you know, we got a lot of
Smoothie King.
Oh Jesus, the Smoothie King Center! Don't get me started on the Smoothie King Center. I've been there,
or the Quicken Loans Arena.
Quicken Loans Arena, but that one makes sense.
For some reason, I don't mind Staples Center because it feels like. If there are at least names that are just like words, I'm less bothered by it. Staples Center now just seems like, oh, it's the Staples Center. I don't think of the store Staples at all.
When was last time you went to a Staples?
Well,
last week to get some stuff for your screen printer
for magic.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say you go to Staples all the time.
I was getting adhesive dots.
Got it.
You'd be shocked by how much Magic is just done at Office Depot and Staples. It's true. Casey, do you have any shows this week?
Yeah, tomorrow night. So Tuesday. Those listeners who will get it fresh in their inbox tomorrow morning, you got to pop over to the UCB Sunset and hit up the Inner Sanctum because Bitchcoin is playing Miss Golightly's Happy Hour.
Oh, cool.
So we're going to get in there and have a great time. Excellent. 8:30 p.m.
And then Thursday, I have magic to do.
Oh, yeah.
Friday, I have Baby Wants Candy.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's it for me this week. Nice. Light week.
Have you been hitting some open mics up? Or
I'm starting this week.
This week. All
right. I've been very lazy.
I feel like you've been doing a lot of magic.
Eh.
I feel like you've been doing a lot of TikToks.
I've been doing a lot of being a lazy bachelor. My husband is in Australia for a month.
It's amazing.
It's
been VR. It's been...
No, the bulk of my activities have been... I have been learning magic tricks.
Okay.
I started West Wing over.
Okay.
I had already started this. I was in season 2.
Okay.
So I sort of picked that back up.
Got it.
And then watching some other shows like Pen 15 on Hulu.
I have heard nothing delightful. But great things about Pen 15.
Very delightful. I've also all of Russian Doll.
Yes. Yeah. We're going to have a one-off podcast where we talk about Russian Doll.
All I will say about Russian Doll is that most of it was just on it, but the ending of it I thought was beautiful.
Yes.
Same. That's all I will say.
Yeah. I mean, I was... And
it's definitely worth watching.
I was way more in love with it, and then the ending pushed me over the top even more. It was like...
Yeah.
It was truly...
To me, the ending like stuck the landing so hard, I was like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people have been talking about Pen 15. Less people have been talking about sex education, but the people who've been talking about it have been as rabid as the people.
I have tried sex education. We tried watching it, and I was not hooked. I will give it another shot. Although I'm still in the middle of, Eric and I are in the middle of giving Schitt's Creek another.
Oh shot. Yeah, that show that has it popped up since the last time we were like, we get it. They're white people.
Yeah, basically.
I told somebody that was your take, and they were like, oh my God. he needs to keep trying. Cool.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of if there any. I haven't seen anything yet in that show that dissuade me from that, but I won't keep going because everybody loves it.
Yeah.
The only reason I was thinking about that was the other day I was at a bar and they put the movie In-N-Out. Which was very fun.
Got a shout out my girlfriend. That's one of her favorite movies.
Really?
Yes.
So I've never seen it. Now I've seen the first 20 minutes of it.
You gotta finish.
And I will watch the rest of it. Yeah. However, I did note that it was like In-N-Out. Oh, I was watching In-N-Out.
Uh-huh.
That, and then I watched I love to rewatch this show every once in a while. An 8 or 10 episode show on HBO called Unscripted.
Okay.
From 2005.
Okay.
It's got like this woman, Krista Allen, Brian Greenberg, Jennifer Hall, playing LA actors playing themselves.
Okay.
And it's kind of a weird fictional, non-fictional mix.
Got it.
That and In-N-Out, I was like, man, every single person in these two things is white. Like, every single actor is white. And
yeah.
It just stuck out to me as like an artifact of like a time from like 10 to 15 years ago.
What, you didn't see them accept the Oscars for Green Book?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. 15 years ago, man. It's crazy. They accepted the Oscar for Green Book, and it was a bunch of white producers on stage.
That's true. Cool, man.
Hey.
We'll see you next week.
Yeah.